time it is. Turn the speakers up, TJ Harris and Michelle up in the cut. Wanna know what's going on? They gon' fill you up. When it comes to social issues, they're the ones you can trust. Resistance Radio, fighting the power, saying it plain for this radio hour. Fire and ice, about to give you the spice. Politics for your life, let you know what's right. Now, what's going on in the world? Listen up and find out. We ain't afraid, yeah, know what we talking about. Covering every single thing from A to Z. Oh yeah, now you best believe me. We saying it plain, coming straight to the people. Saying it plain, always coming with the sequel. And every time we live, put your hands up high. Saying it plain for the girls and the guys. Yeah, saying it plain.
Is good SIP Nation. I'm TJ Harris. Want to welcome you to the ride. This is Saying It Plain. Want to welcome to the show. We got an awesome show lined up for you this morning. We got a triple hitter of interviews, starting with our featured interview, which is with author and media personality Winter Harris. Is going to join us on the SIP hotline. Awesome interview you're going to absolutely enjoy. Then we are going in our archives and we're pulling out an interview we did with indie recording artist Haley Reardon. You're going to hear that interview this morning as well. And a third interview, a short interview we did with musical artist Composing For You. Three awesome interviews. We're definitely excited to have you here. I want to welcome you guys. Feeling really good. No Michelle early this morning, but she will be back here tomorrow on Saying It Plain. So I'm riding solo. We're going to get into it. As I said, we got three interviews, and I'm not going to hold up too much time talking this morning because we're going to get right into it. I don't want to run out of time. Let me first get into it by telling you Saying It Plain this morning is sponsored in part by Crown Jewelers. Did you forget that special occasion or anniversary? Are you ready to pop the question, but you can't afford the ring? Ladies, do you want to treat yourself to those diamonds you've been thinking about, but you just can't afford? Well, now you can with Crown Jewelers. With Crown Jewelers, all credit is accepted, low monthly payments, and a small down payment, and that bling you've been waiting for is yours and ready to go. Go to sayingitplainradio.net/crown.html. Again, that's sayingitplainradio.net/crown.html. All credit accepted. It's your chance to get the jewelry you've been waiting for. Fellas, get that jump on Valentine's Day or Christmas or your wife or girlfriend's birthday, and no better place to do it than Crown Jewelers. Again, you can get that special from Crown Jewelers by going to sayingitplainradio.net/crown, but you gotta put in .html. Alright, so we're going to get into it. As I said, our featured interview this morning is with Winter Harris. He joined us on the SIP Hotline. Winter Harris, let's go. Alright, so joining me today on the SIP Hotline, we got author, relationship expert, coach, business owner, and TV personality, Winter Harris is on the SIP Hotline. Winter, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We want to thank you for coming on and talking with us this morning, Winter. And let me just say, that was an absolute mouthful. You are a very, very busy lady.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right, so to get started, and I already gave an intro, but if you can, Winter, just tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background.
First and foremost, people are like, she's probably half crazy, and you're probably not wrong, but aside from all of that, I am a mom of four, which is my proudest accomplishment ever, so I always like to start there and acknowledge that I have four beautiful children. My oldest will be 18 next month, and so they are, transitioning out of the house, which is a scary thing. I don't think people really give you the ups and downs of parenting. And to me, it's not that growing up is a down, but they just don't really prepare you for how hard it is. And so she's a senior, and we're getting ready to prep her for college. So it's just, oh goodness, it's a lot. But aside from that, I do own two businesses, my own brand, Winter Harris Enterprises, and then the Created to Be brand, which is my event brand, and we host a number of events throughout the year. We actually have a conference coming up next month called the Created to Be Conference, and it's where our passion is purpose and people. And so helping people just pursue their purpose with passion is essentially what this conference is about. And so we're extremely excited about it. Time is definitely running out, and it's coming up sooner than I even anticipated, but I'm excited for it. And so that is what I do outside of a full-time job. I'm actually a marketing and communications manager by day for a corporate society. And so I am extremely busy. I'm a full-time doctoral student. I do still manage to get around the D.C. area and participate in a number of events. I do travel to speak on, you know, relationship panels, or I'm booked to be a speaker about relationships. I love talking about relationships and really just challenging different perspectives when it comes to the realm of love. I am an equal opportunity truth teller, and so I am neither for or against man or female. I'm for love. And so where the truth needs to be spoken, that's kind of where I come in. And so I love it. It's something I fell in love with after I divorced, and I was actually married for 15 years. And so, and married to an ex-NFL player. So I've kind of seen all angles of love, being single, dating, marriage, divorce, and now, you know, dating after divorce. So it's just a lot of experience that has kind of, you know, evolved into this relationship business that I'm in, and I absolutely love it.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Let's start with your book. Let's start with your book. Your book is called Divorced in the City. It details your love, dating, and lessons as a divorcee, and how you relate that to relationships. Talk to us a little bit about the book. Tell readers what they will learn by reading your book.
Yes. So Divorced in the City is a fictional depiction of my real life. I like to tell people that because I think there's a way that you can kind of present your truth where it is a little bit more digestible. And for me, that's comedy. And so I love to laugh. And it was just a great way to really express, you know, really some of the real life challenges that people go through dating after divorce. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. I literally came into the dating world again after being married for 15 years. I got married at 19, and then 15 years later, 34, I find myself divorced with 4 kids. And so a lot has changed. There was no such thing as Tinder when I was 19. I didn't know anything about, you know, Match.com, Christian, you know, Swindlers.com. I knew nothing about that. And so it was really an eye-opening experience for me. And so I say Divorced in the City, you know, while it's funny, and if you read it, you're going to laugh a lot, because I basically was journaling while I was going on these dates and, you know, suggestion of my friends, oh, you should do, you know, dating apps. And so I tried OkCupid, and boy, did OkCupid give me an education as far as dating after divorce. But I started literally naming the guys in my journal. I wouldn't even call them by name. I just started naming them. And so in the book, the chapters are named after what I named them in my journal. And so one is called Cabbage Patch Kid. You just have to read to understand what that means. Army of Lies. Oh, goodness. Son of a Preacher Man. It's everything. Like, I literally go in and I tell it from a funny standpoint. I am brutally honest. I called my mom and I said, Mom, I am a grown woman in this book, and I just need to alert you that I am very honest.
So let me just ask you, if you can, just to share with the audience, what was your craziest experience of getting into dating after divorce?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Okay. So I went out on a date with a man, and, you know, he was like a Denzel Washington lookalike. And let me tell you, his OkCupid pic was amazing. And I'm thinking, okay, this dating after divorce might not be half bad, right? Like, he's she's fine. And so, of course, like, he reaches out and we start communicating by text. And then he, you know, he's such a gentleman. He asked, can he, you know, call me? And I said, sure. So we're talking by phone. He was like, I would love to take you out on a date. So we go out on a date in D.C., you know, in the city, nice summer night. And I'm thrilled. I'm like, this man is just beautiful. I can't wait to meet him in person. So anyway, we show up to this bar, CityTap. I'll never forget. CityTap. Show up to this bar. And he's literally already drinking by the time I get there. And I'm like, you know, maybe he's nervous. And I'm going to excuse that because I get it. This is a, you know, this is a, can be a scary thing. I'm going to give him some grace. And so we sit down at our table and we're going back and forth. And he's clearly intelligent. He tells me that he has like a master's degree, a master's in actually a couple of different subjects. And I'm like, wow, like I'm impressed, but still I can't get over the fact that he's literally like drinking like a fish while he's talking to me. And I'm like, he's like, do you want anything to drink? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Like he's drunk enough for the both of us just in case somebody needs to drive you home. I need to be sober. So, he's talking. He says, I have something to share with you. I'm going to run to the bathroom and I'll be right back. I said, okay, no worries. So he begins to share and he says, you know, I have a lot of degrees. He said, but I literally can't find a job because I'm a convicted felon. And I was like, a convicted felon? And he was like, yes. So I got all my degrees while I was serving time. And I was like, that would explain the rock hard abs. Like, what else do you have time to do, right? And so I'm like, oh goodness, you know. So I was like, well, I'm a believer in second chances. Do you mind me asking what you serve time for? And he said, that is such a wonderful response. You know, I don't mind being transparent. You know, it's my life. And he said, I actually served 10 years in the state penitentiary for selling and pimping. Mm-mm. And I was like, selling and pimping? Like, pimping? Like, what? Define pimping. Like, what type of pimping are we talking about? Like, you were doing a pimping. You was, you know, you were a pimp. Like, I need the definitions around this selling and pimping. And he literally pushed heroin and cocaine and weed, but he pimped prostitutes. That was his, that was on his record. Like, he was convicted for, you know, running a prostitution ring and selling drugs. And at that moment, I am like, can I get a check, please? I it's fine, and I'm not judging. I'm telling you, I'm not judging, but that was a lot for me to digest. And coming back into the dating world, and he seemed like a really, really nice guy. But again, I understood the drinking in that moment. I understood the 10-pack abs in that moment.
It all made sense, right?
It all made sense. And so let me tell you, I fast forward, and this is where I, you know, had to have some maturity, but I didn't, and I'm woman enough to say that. I actually, like, ghosted him because I didn't know what to say at that point, and he was really, like, still trying to, like, reach out. Oh, my gosh, I had such a great time. You were so receptive to my truth, and I'm like, dude, that's way too much truth, but, you know. I got two girls. Like, you went to jail for pimping women. I cannot deal. Right. So there's no way I can explain that to my ex-husband. And so I just, you know, I ghosted him. And so fast forward, I had a thing for dating guys with the same names. And so I tell this in the book. I started dating a guy with the same name as the, you know, penitentiary pimp. And I thought, just ghost him, move on. I start talking to this one guy. And I got their names, their numbers mixed up because I thought I had deleted the one guy out of my book. And so I go to him. I haven't talked to him. And he messages me and says, so how did it go? Or no, how have you been? And I said, I've been great. Remember, I was, you know, in New York with my friend and this, that, and the other. And he was like, wrong person. And I was like, right. Right. Wrong. I couldn't even read. I just deleted it. I really was like, you know, Winter, you've really got to take a break here. I think you got to reassess your life and kind of reevaluate what you're doing. But that is all. all in the book. Like, there are just some crazy experiences, and I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried, but I documented it. It's told from, like I said, it's a fictional real life documentary of some of my dated experiences. But let me tell you, be prepared to laugh, because I just thought, this could not be my life. Like, there's got to be more to life than this.
Wow.
That's by far the craziest, though, for sure. For sure.
Now, you champion healthy relationships and encouraging people to learn more about who they are and what they desire in a mate. Explain that to our audience a little bit.
So, yes, I am a huge advocate for healthy relationships. And so one of the biggest misconceptions that we see out there is that people can truly find love in another individual. While that is true, you cannot truly embrace that love until you first develop a healthy relationship with yourself. And so I really promote and teach, and especially when I coach individuals or couples, like, I really teach learning who you are, finding out what you like and don't like, discovering what your love language is. It's going to go a long way with finding the right partner and then being able to be vulnerable enough to open up to whoever you select or let in your life, and give them the opportunity to really learn you and learn how to love you. But it is impossible to teach someone how to love you when you really don't know how to love yourself. And so that's pretty much what I do every day. I mean, whether it's writing a blog, whether it's, you know, hosting these Facebook Lives that I do on my own show, or when I travel to speak, it's really trying to help people, you know, get to the root of themselves and grow so they can find the love that they desire and deserve.
Talk to us, if you can, a little bit, Winter. I was reading a little bit about you, and you talked about the importance of being emotionally ready before you get back into dating after divorce. Talk to us about why you say that and why it's important for those divorcees who are ready to jump back in the game.
So why that's so important, after divorce especially, you are still healing. You literally have to go through the process of what I like to call burying that relationship so you can then build a secure and solid foundation for another relationship. So you have to put that relationship to rest, and that means you have to allow yourself the time to heal. I did not date for a year after my divorce. I needed that time, and I came from a marriage that was, you know, 15 years. There was a lot of infidelity. But that is a lot of things to unpack. Now, the one thing I will say that helped, and I also, you know, advocate for as well, is therapy. I went to therapy. I was in therapy for years because it really kept me from being Orange is the New Black. Without therapy, I would probably be in jail right now. And I'm just being completely honest. I'm just a transparent person. I'm telling you, I really could have been serving time. So you have to allow yourself time to heal so you're not carrying all that baggage into a new relationship. And I was just saying this last week, what we typically like to do when we go through, you know, really traumatic experiences like divorce, we like to hurry up and get into a new relationship because in some ways it basically puts a Band-Aid on our insecurity of being able to find love again. But it's simply a Band-Aid. It's not really healing the problem. And we really have to address ourselves. Otherwise, we will constantly look for love to be a Band-Aid. And that's not what love is. And so you just have to learn to take the time. There's no harm in taking as much time as you need to really heal and be healthy and emotionally ready, because it's a lot. You're taking on another person, and you're taking on their heart and things that they're bringing into the relationship. And if you haven't dealt with your own, you are ill-equipped to deal with somebody else's baggage. And it's really unfair to yourself and your partner if you don't take the time to heal.
Mm. Now, after being emotionally ready, what advice would you give a divorcee who is a little bit scared about jumping back out there and experiencing some of the things that you've experienced?
Listen, love is a risk. I don't think anybody could have prepared me for the experiences that I went through. So you have to be willing to take the risk. But you should have a really good tribe. Like, have a good tribe that can hold you accountable, you know, give you a sounding board of wisdom. Because when we're scared to love, we can make some really dumb decisions. And so one of the things I actually practice, and I encourage, especially women, when I started dating, I literally think there's nothing wrong. You can meet your, you know, forever partner anywhere. So I don't mind dating apps, but you need to do it in a safe way. So I actually downloaded a GPS app, and when I would meet guys that I had met on an app, I would drop my location to a couple of friends. So date safe, but also just be willing to take the risk. There's not going to ever be a perfect situation. I wish that was the case, but that's just not life. And I think the best thing you can do is just date smart. If something doesn't feel right, then don't do it. And even if it feels right, still have people there that can back you up. Because, again, what I found most importantly was that I was extremely green. I was very, very green. There was a lot I did not know and understand, and I had a huge learning curve when I re-entered the dating world. So educate yourself. Catch up on the lingo. You need to know what ghosting is. You know, you need to know that there's no sense in you texting him or her 25 times in a row when you literally haven't heard from them after, you know, a week or two or longer, like really after 24 hours. And some people just don't know that. Like, right. Oh, my gosh, he had such a great date. He seemed like he was the one. I don't understand why he's not answering my call, you know, 2 weeks later. Well, sweetheart, he's been ghosted. That's why. So you're going to have to, you know, move on. But educate yourself. Like, educate yourself. It is an underrated commodity, especially in this day and age. Everything is so, I mean, you can swipe right, swipe left. Like, if you don't like someone, you can just swipe left, right? That is our society. Everything is very transient and digital. So you have to be prepared for that. But safety is a huge, huge factor. I mean, I've had women that I've coached that have messaged me and said, oh my God, I met a guy on Instagram and we're in love and I'm going to move to California. I'm like, whoa, like you're doing cross country moves over someone you met on IG? I'm not saying that everyone's crazy on IG, but let's just pause for a minute. And it's been 30 days. Yeah, that's not exactly the smartest thing to do.
Right. So,
you know, be safe. Like, really, really think about being safe. So I think people probably don't think about that. They just lead with their heart. Because sometimes you really have to lead from your brain when it comes to love. And then, you know, incorporate your heart into it so you're being smart about it. So date smart is the biggest piece of advice I can give someone that is coming out of any sort of relationship, especially like a marriage. Date smart.
Now, what's your personal inspiration behind actually helping others get through what you got through?
Get through what I got through. I like that. My personal inspiration is my kids. And really, so I'll just tell like a little bit of my story. So I was married to an ex-NFL player. And so our marriage ended in infidelity, and it was like Jerry Springer type of infidelity. Like the situation I really couldn't make up. I mean, a lie was probably better than the truth. That was just my reality. And so for me moving forward, it really became truly forgiving their father, healing. And out of that healing really gave me a passion for helping other people heal and forgive in the realm of relationships, because I literally tell my clients when they come to me and say, I just can't forgive him, I just can't forgive her, I can't move forward, and I literally share my experience, and I tell them, if I can't forgive and move forward, trust me, anybody can. And so that's really my inspiration. My kids are now, you know, we're, you know, quite a number of years removed from our divorce, but we don't have any drama. There never has been. We're great co-parents. We have joint custody. The kids are happy. They're healthy. They understand that both of us are present. I'm not trying to, you know, pimp them for all his money. That's just, our kids are our most important priority. And that's where we put our focus. And so for me, it's really just to be an example and to impact people through example. And so a lot of that for me was just really walking that road of forgiveness. And once I got on the other side of forgiveness, everything else really just kind of began to unfold. And I'm transparent, and I think that helps people as well. And so I think, you know, people love to hide what they've been through, but it's really by being transparent that you can really help set people free to be, you know, transparent and grow from their own situations. And so that's how I got through what I've been through to help other people.
Absolutely. Now, you have another book that's about to release in October called Bold, Brave, Beautiful Love, Escaping the Cycle of Loving and Fear. So
yes.
What is this book about?
This book is exactly like the title, Escaping the Cycle of Loving and Fear. And so as you can imagine, going through, you know, infidelity, really kind of dealing with insecurities and not feeling like I was worthy to be loved. Like, what did I do so bad that would make this man cheat on me and do all this stuff to me? I was bitter. And so after walking my process of forgiveness, I still realized when I dated from a perspective of fear. And so I talk about this in one chapter in the book. And I said, when you lead with fear, you automatically enter relationships auditioning. You don't show up like you've already got the role. And when we audition, we don't allow people the opportunity to really get to know us for who we are and really appreciate that we can be the star of the show. And so that's just one thing that I cover, but really helping people, you know, get over that heal of fear. It's such a huge, huge barrier in relationships, whether it's fear of being hurt, whether it's fear of being cheated on or fear of being lied to or fear of being used. There's a lot of that in today's society. Mm-hmm. I walked through the process of really, you know, bridging over to being courageous. You know, love is bold. It's beautiful. It's brave. But you can really take hold of that and overcome it and love, you know, fearlessly and love courageously and love and be bold in who you are as a person, bold in what you bring to the table. I always tell people, you know, I hate that question. What do you bring to the table? And I always say an appetite, because you will learn who I am if I allow you the opportunity to remain in my life. So if you get rid of fear, though, you don't come in afraid of showing who you are. Being bold and being brave in love is really being fearless in a way that you're willing to bring your whole self to the table, because you own your mistakes, you own your truth, you own your past. And when you own all of that, no one can hold that against you. So yeah, don't ask me what I bring to the table. I bring an appetite. Now order these appetizers and let's figure out if this is going to work. If not, we can go our separate ways.
I love it. Now I have to ask out there for the moms that are trying to get through life and want to have a business and want to do all these multiple things like you're doing, but are kind of hesitant because they have kids and they feel as though they don't have the time. What advice to them?
This is such a great question. So let me just say, even though I do a lot, I do a lot. My kids are my first priority. And so because their dad and I have joint custody, that means we swap back and forth, and there's a lot of every other week. And mm-hmm. so I purposely share a calendar with my ex-husband, and we plan out our schedule in a way that I don't book events or I don't allow people to book me on the weekends that I have my kids. Mm-hmm. And so they take the priority on those weekends or the days that I have them. That said, I also could not do what I do without a village. So this is where it's important to be honest enough to say when and ask for help when needed. Build your village. If you don't have family around, I'm fortunate I do. But for those that don't, like, get to know your neighbors. Get to know parents at your school. Build a single mom co-op. Like, help each other, you know, borrow time from each other when it comes to sitting. But there are more than a number of ways that you can really carve out the time to not only build your family, but build what you love in business. And so I always tell women, because what we have a propensity to do is really invest all of ourselves into our kids. And I'm experiencing this now, is that our kids grow up and they get older. And then you're looking like, what did I do with my time? I have nothing else to do. My kids don't require, you know, as much of me anymore. But I said, you can build your business while you're building your family. You just got to take the time to really carve out the time and see how to make it workable. But, you know, prioritizing what's important. I do take active breaks and vacations. Those are important as well. But I think, too, you really have to look at building your business as building a legacy, not just for yourself, but for your kids. I'm not investing all this time into, you know, building my brand or building my businesses because I just want to be on social media. I don't even like half the people that I come in contact with on social media because people are just ridiculous.
I understand you completely.
Exactly. Like, the trolls are insane. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll come back to that in just a second. But that's not why I do what I do. Like, my kids have literally seen me, like, grind to get to even where I am now. And it just seems like, you know, the opportunities are starting to really open up and come to me, but they've seen me build. But as an example to them, they've seen what it takes to have hard work and dedication and passion for something that you love and not let being a mom or a dad stop you, you know, from pursuing your dreams. That's an example to them. But more so than that, I'm building a legacy. I hope that my kids say, Mom, you know, can I get in on this? Actually, my son was telling me forever. I mean, he was 11 at the time. He said, Mom, I can really be your manager, but I just don't think people would take me seriously as a kid. So, you know, he was inspired to help because he just saw, you know, the work that I was putting in. So look at it as, you know, I'm not just doing this for me. Like, I'm being an example to my kids, but I'm also building a legacy for them. But let's go back to the people, like, not really liking the people on social media. I shouldn't say that. I love a majority of the people that follow me, but I dub the trolls or the weird men that like to try to marry me as wackadoodles. And so if I really could balance, like, the wackadoodles and the people I actually, you know, don't mind building a relationship with on social media, my life would actually be great. I call them wackadoodles, sapsucker, or ninjas. Those are my three different categories. And so depending on how you come at me, you will get categorized as one of those three things. And so my audience has come to appreciate my terms. I was born and raised in Arkansas, so I am country by default. And so this is how my countryness shows itself on social media. And I try to not be petty. I try not to be petty on purpose. Let me say that. I try not to be petty on purpose, but these wackadoodles try my patience. I was like, you jokers try every last Jesus that is in me. And I try not to let that come out on a daily basis. But some days I win and some days I lose. It just depends.
Absolutely, completely understand. This has been an awesome interview. I want to say we really, really enjoyed talking to you. If you can, lastly, tell the audience where they can get your book. Please give out your social media and everything else as well.
Yes, 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 yes. So you can connect with me on IG, Twitter, Facebook at Harris Winter. And so it's my first and last name backwards. Or you can go to thewinterharris.com. That's my website. And if you go to the website, you can pre-order my upcoming book. And if you pre-order now, you'll actually get it shipped for free and autographed. Also, you can get the link to the other books that I have available for sale as well. So I have three that you can choose from in addition to the fourth that is coming out next month. Outside of that, you can go to created2b.com to check out all of my brand events. Like I said, our conference is next month. Our retreat is in January. Our boss brunch is next June. And then I've actually just got to go ahead to do a men's conference, which will actually be in Atlanta next August. And so I'm so pumped about that. I know people say men's conference, but yes, that is happening. And I'm looking forward to that, actually. So those are just some things that you can, you know, peruse and see if you'd like to attend. We always love new people, so definitely see if that's something that you can attend and be a part of. Outside of that, you can catch my show, The Winter Harris Show, every Monday night at 9:00 p.m. and you can actually view it live on Facebook. Just go to my Facebook page and log on at 9:00 and we have a great time. We laugh a lot, we learn a lot, but most importantly, we learn how to love.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be watching this next upcoming Monday because you have given me a great chuckle today. So I'm loving it. We want to thank you again, Winter, for coming on and talking to our audience. And of course, we want to wish you nothing but future success.
Thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Absolutely. So that was Winter Harris, one of my favorite interviews on Saying It Plain. She was funny. She was real. And we had a blast talking to her. Go check out Winter Harris. Check out her books and everything else. And get some knowledge to help you in your relationship. Absolutely. All right, we're going to get ready to take a break. We are going to take a break on Saying It Plain. After the break, we have the interview with the one and only Haley Reardon, and Composing for You, both coming up after the break. Real quick before we go to the break, Saying It Plain today is sponsored in part by Crown Jewelers. If you have not got the jewelry for that special someone as of yet, if you're waiting for Christmas, it's coming around, we got birthdays coming up, Valentine's Day, you want to get the jump on it, fellas, get the jump right now by going to sanitplainradio.net/crown.html. Again, sanitplainradio.net/crown.html. You have to add that HTML to get the special offer from Crown Jewelers. All credit is accepted. They don't care about your credit. As long as you can pay the small down payment and the low monthly payments, the credit you've been looking for to get the bling you've been wanting to get is yours at Crown Jewelers. sanitplainradio.net/crown.html. Check it out. Do it today. We're taking a break. After the break, we'll be back with more of Saying It Plain.
Are you tired of being alone on a Saturday night? Tired of cuddling up with your cat instead of that special someone? Then it's time to get off that couch and find your Elite Mate. Elite Mates help match you with that special someone. Sign up for your free trial by going to www.sayingitplainradio.net/date. Again, that's sayingitplainradio.net/date. Meet someone for free. There's no credit card needed to try it out. If you like the service, you can become a member and get your date on. But for now, try it for free today at sayingitplainradio.net/date. Your Elite Mate is waiting by the computer for you to log on.
Gamefly. Gamefly is offering a 30-day free trial to Saying It Plain listeners of Gamefly service. Gamefly has over 8,000 video game titles available for you to rent and have delivered directly to your door. Go to GameflyOffer.com/SIP. Again, that's GameflyOffer.com/SIP. Take advantage of a 30-day free trial with one free game from Gamefly. Do it today.
You're listening to Saying It Plain Radio. Go to sayingitplainradio.net for all information on the show. Make sure you like us on Facebook at facebook.com/sayingitplain and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/sayingitplain. And we're also new on Instagram. You can support the show at sayingitplainradio.net/donate. Join the growing SIP Nation. We're the voice of the voiceless. Fight for your right to be informed.
All right, so we are back from the break. This is Saying It Plain on a triple hitter interview show. We had, before the break, the interview we did with Winter Harris. And now we're going to go to interview number two this morning, which is with indie recording artist Haley Reardon. Haley Reardon joined me on the SIP Hotline. Awesome interview. Let's go. And we are joined by Boston indie recording artist Haley Reardon. Haley, how you doing?
So good. So glad to be here.
Thank you. We're glad you were able to come on. We tried to get you on before, and we said we were going to definitely make sure we got you back on, and we're so happy you were able to come back on and talk to our audience. Let's get into the conversation, Haley. Why don't you tell the audience who may not be familiar with you, because I know you've been touring mostly in the Boston area, a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm from the Boston area. I'm from the North Shore and kind of plugged into this sort of Americana folk music singer-songwriter scene that is actually alive and well in New England, know it or not, at a young age. And I spent a couple years living in Nashville, but I just moved home, and I really feel kind of connected to the music community here, so it's really good to be back. For now, who knows what's next, but yeah, so I write folk songs and play intimate kind of concerts at clubs.
Awesome. So our show is kind of about social change, and you kind of do that through your music. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and the message you're trying to convey with the music right now.
Yeah, well, like I said, folk, I'm very much inspired, like proud to call myself a folk artist, and that's kind of been the community that I've come up in, and that's very much steeped in like a tradition of, you know, topical songs and songs for social change. And so that's always been inspiring to me. But I think as, you know, as I have grown as a person and different things have been important to me, I started writing when I was very young and performing and stuff when I was very young. That's kind of taken on different iterations, as I sort of respond to my environment, whatever that is. So when I was really young and, in eighth or early high school, I had a sort of anti-bullying program that I did with kids that was based around a bunch of songs I had. And, I work with girl, I still do a lot of songwriting workshops and work with young girls and young women, and sort of empowerment. But more recently, obviously there's a lot going on in our political country here. And, and so my most recent release, was me rewriting, the American patriotic anthem, America the Beautiful, hopefully, to sort of update that for better or for worse.
So let me just ask you, because you've been doing a lot of things with social change, and I don't know your age, but I'm going to assume you're a millennial. I'd be right.
I just turned 22. So am I? Yes.
All right. So what kind of response have you been getting from others your age with what you're doing with the anti-bullying and the things like that and getting people involved?
I mean, it's been a very good, I think I naturally, you know, attract people who sort of have a similar, I mean, it's been really wonderful, especially, the work I've been able to do like one-on-one or in big groups. I've done a lot of touring where I actually go to schools and summer camps and youth programs and whatever, what have you, both through my own program and working with other programs. And that's always really special to, you know, get to interact with other young people in that sense, about sort of issues that are very top of mind if, you know, you really are in high school and we're kind of talking about things that are part of day-to-day life if you're that age. But, yeah, I mean, and then this most recent release, America the Beautiful, has just also been, you know, tapping into something I think a lot of us are concerned about and thinking about and whatnot. So it's been good. It's been good.
And so you, like you stated, you did remake the America Beautiful. Talk to us about what encouraged you to remake that song. And you actually did an amazing job on it. The video
was
beautiful.
It was awesome. I really loved it.
Definitely. Hey
guys, I'm so glad you liked it because we were like, it was a struggle to make the video because America is this huge, even just like visually, you know, scenic wise, we were like, how are we going to make a video without, you know, being able to travel the whole, so I'm glad you liked it and you weren't like, they went three places and are trying to show all of America. But, when I was young, my grandfather, I would go to my grandfather's house every day after school. That was like my after school program. And he was a singer and like a patriot and a firefighter. And he was like adamant that, I don't know why, but our after school activity was that we would learn all of the patriotic songs. We would sing them together. So I know all of the verses. Like he'd say, Grand Old Flag from the top, and we would just sing them. So I know all of those songs, even like the deep verses that maybe everyone doesn't know. And so they sort of come to me at random times and remind me of my grandfather. But America the Beautiful popped into my head about a year ago now and just felt so poignant and important. All of a sudden it sort of hit me differently, kind of given the current situation we're in. And even just that line, America the Beautiful, kind of like this reminder that there's a lot of beautiful, and that is, you know, that's kind of what we're all working to preserve, or bring forth, despite of what feels a little broken sometimes. So, I just, you know, started singing it and, felt inclined to interjects and stuff, and I've never done that before, like rewritten a pre-existing song, but it just kind of came out. And so
you did an amazing job, just so you know.
Thanks.
It came out beautiful. And I think that literally that you should really play that a lot, especially right now. We need something like that to show and embrace everything that America is and can be. So kudos to you. Amazing job.
What type of response have you gotten when you've been out touring and sung the song from people? How are they responding? Because we're so divided, as you said, all over this country. So people look at things completely different depending on where you are. What type of responses have you been getting?
Yes, I definitely was a little, I wasn't sure at first how that song would come across. Although, I mean, I do think there's kind of a little bit of, to me, I could see it, someone maybe seeing it as divisive, but to me, there's a lot of kind of things that we can all agree upon in that song, which was kind of my intent, with the exception, you know, I wanted to make a statement, but I also wanted it to be a reminder, like, here's some things we can all, you know, agree upon. But it's actually been one of the songs over the past year that I've been playing it live that people will, there's always one or two that people will come up to me after and say, like, where's that song? Where can I find that? And I don't know if that's just, like, that they know America the Beautiful, the original, and just thought it was unique that it's a rewritten version of it, or if, I mean, it seems to have tapped into something because that has been the main song that people come up to me and say, where can I find that? And I finally got it out. But yeah, I think that it's something that it's hard not, no matter where you stand, it's something that's hard not for us all to kind of be thinking about. So, it just kind of tapped into something that people were, was top of mind.
Absolutely. Now, I found it interesting, Haley, that your first EP, Good, was completely fan-funded on Kickstarter. Tell us how that all came about and how you guys have done.
Yeah, so that was, I put that project out a couple years ago, 2016. It took a long time to make, so it's like, the time I actually got it out was not, I think I put it out in 2016, but it was a long time coming before that. Yeah, I wanted to make an album. I've been doing this for a long time, but I kind of felt like I had, this batch of songs that was very kind of, if I didn't get them out now, I was about to leave for college, and I just felt like they marked this point in my life that if I didn't kind of put them together in something soon, then they would float away and there would be new songs and a whole new me and whatever. So, I had worked with a independent label before that, but that was my first project I was going to put out on my own. And so mm-hmm. I didn't have the funding to do that. I had all the songs and ideas, but not the money. And so I did a Kickstarter and raised all the money to make my record, which was incredible. Also a massive creative and energetic endeavor aside from making a record. So if I were to do it again, I would probably space them out a little more. It was as much kind of creative work and energy as going and actually making an album. And then it also carries on much longer after because you've promised all of these reward packages and whatnot to people. But I made a lot of great friends through it. I met so many cool people who supported me, and then I got to connect with them, whatever. So it was very rewarding and kind of makes you feel like you have this team of people who are actually, especially when you're doing things on a small scale like me, I'm an independent artist and I'm working with like a small group of people who really are paying attention to what I'm doing. So it's this nice, like, reminder that there's people who really care about what you're making before you're even done with it. So it sort of, like, helps you persevere, and you know that there's some folks out there waiting to hear it, and that goes a long way. So it was very rewarding.
That's awesome. Now, with your song, you said you're folk. So who is your musical inspiration, and who actually contributed to your sound coming up?
Yeah, I've always loved singer-songwriters. I'm very into, like, the sort of, I mean, you know, some people are drawn to bands and whatnot, but I love that sort of singular perspective. Like, my favorite live shows are very much like a person alone with an instrument, kind of like sharing stories between songs, like very intimate kind of window into somebody through that avenue. So I've always loved singer-songwriters. I love Joni Mitchell. I love Jackson Browne. I love Patti Griffin, who's another wonderful singer-songwriter. There's a local woman named Laurie McKenna that has inspired me for a long time, and she was like the first singer-songwriter I saw sort of in the Boston community, and was like, wow, this is, you know, it was the first concert I went to that wasn't like at a stadium, and I realized that people go to small listening rooms and listen to a woman alone with a guitar, so that she's always been an inspiration of mine. But yeah, lots of singer-songwriters.
Wow.
If I could go back a second, a few minutes ago you talked about how you were an indie artist, and we're an indie radio show, you know, we don't have corporate backing, so I understand completely the struggles you have to go through. For those listening who may be trying to get into music, kind of talk a little bit about what it was like for you, the struggle you had to go through, and what advice would you give somebody who's trying to get into the music industry right now?
Definitely. Yeah, Yeah, I think that that's a code a lot of people are trying to crack, and a lot of different things. And that's what's cool is, like, that you can look at people who are, you know, maybe not doing the same, maybe not doing music, or, you know, there's a lot of parallels between what we're doing. And it's kind of cool to be able to observe and pull from all these different sort of entrepreneurial indie people trying to get their work out there in the world, whatever that may be. But for me, it's been focusing on building that fan base, no matter how small, like really giving back to the people that really are invested. I mean, for me, like specifically with music, it's touring, and it's knowing that it might be that I go someplace, and if I get 20 people that time and I come back 6 months later and 25 come, that's a huge success. Like, that's a metric I can count, and it's moving, and every person matters, and it's just building this small little army of people who care, and that word of mouth goes a really long way, and just sort of building a community person by person, which is, for me, I think for a lot of people who, like, you know, have big dreams, maybe that seems like daunting or like the long way, but for me personally, it's a lot of fun. Like, I have so many of the people that I've met initially through my music have become like dear friends, and it's kind of this fun community. So I think it's just remembering that, starting small and really kind of putting your all into the kind of grassroots circles we make at first and building outwards. But it's definitely tough financially.
Oh, definitely. And I like what you said, because I completely agree with you. I think a lot of people who get involved in different projects, you know, whether it's music or, you know, whether it's radio or whatever they're trying to do, they set these big goals. And then when you don't hit the big goal, you know, they give up and they quit. I think the most important thing is, like you said, to start with little goals, you know, and after you hit the first little goal, then make another goal. And, you know, and that's kind of what you build in. And you build on that and you keep that going. And it's really awesome what you're doing. And, you know, we as I said, we listen to some of your songs, and definitely, you have a very unique sound to you. And definitely keep going on what you're doing. And you have a tour going on, upcoming, right?
Yeah.
What you got upcoming?
Yeah, I'm playing a bit around here in New England. I have a show this weekend and another show in October in Sturbridge. So a little bit around New England, but then December I'm doing about 3 weeks of shows in Germany, opening for a guy named Ryan O'Reilly. And then I'm going back to Europe in February for my own tour in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. So that is fun for me. My first proper European tours will be really fun and an adventure, but I guess that's not very useful for anyone in the Boston area hoping to come see a show. But check out my website; I have all my gigs up there. So
absolutely, and you had another question.
Yeah. So how is it? So now you have your shows going on in Boston right now around the New England area, but now you're getting ready to go on tour overseas. How are you preparing yourself for that?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've only done, for me, the like extended tour thing is still fairly new. Like, I've done a few, I guess I've done three tours that were about like 2 to 3 weeks, but that's still not like my MO, because I'm, you know, it's much more, kind of like weekends or maybe long weekend trips and whatnot. So that's, so maybe my answer is, I don't know. I just make sure I know my stuff and what my set and what I'm doing. And there's a lot of logistical, like, you know, especially in a foreign country, what's happening there, how am I getting where I need to be? But I will have some friends helping me on those tours. Luckily, one, I'll be opening for someone, so I'm kind of following his lead. And then my tour, I have some friends that are based over there that will be coming with me. But but yeah, all I can do is just make sure I know my show and my set and go along for the ride. But I love to travel, and it'll be an adventure. So
absolutely.
That's amazing.
This has been a very interesting conversation, Haley. We really want to thank you for coming on and talking to us and talking about your music and what you're trying to do with your music, more importantly, because what you're trying to do, I think, is very important, because we want social change. And that's what you're doing with your music, from America to Beautiful to all your other songs. We want to thank you again for sharing with us. And we're going to put if it's okay with you, we're going to put a link to your America the Beautiful on our Facebook page. So everyone can go and check it out.
Definitely.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you again for coming on, and we want to wish you nothing but success with your upcoming tour and everything else.
Definitely.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Round two. We did it.
We got it this time.
Technical difficulty.
Thank you. Good luck on your tour.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, so that was singer-songwriter Haley Reardon. You have to hear Haley's music. Beautiful, beautiful voice. Haley Reardon, go check her out. Check out her music. You can Google her. Get you right to her website. I believe it's HaleyReardon.com. Awesome, awesome artist. You got to hear it. All right, so as I promised, there is a third interview. Our third interview is with music artist Composing For You. We got just enough time to get Composing For You in. Let's go. All right, so I am joined today on the SIP Hotline by singer and musical artist Composing For You. Composing For You, how you doing?
I'm absolutely great, you know. I'm happy to be here and to talk to you today.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for taking a couple minutes to come on and talk to us about your new song, because you got a new song out now, Composing For You, called Hollywood Rocks. Tell us a little bit about the song.
This song has an absolutely unique story, you know. It was written in Hollywood together with friends, and we're sharing the same dreams, you know. And this song is not only about Hollywood, about the blockbuster movies or something. This is really a song about the heart of Hollywood, you know, the streets and the artists there. And that's what I really loved, and it was really inspired me. And that's what this song is about, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always like to ask artists, what was your inspiration on the song? So what made you put this song together?
The inspiration behind the song is simply, you know, we're all sharing some dreams, you know, and we always should believe in our dreams, and we should never, ever stop believing in that dreams. And that's what this song is about. It's not only about the town itself. It's about the inspiration of this town and about the artists that are living there and believing in their dreams. And that's what this song is about. It's something about inside of all of us, you know. In our hearts, we all share some dreams, you know. We all try to live these dreams, and we should never give up, you know. That's what this song is about.
Absolutely, and absolutely. And I personally, I love music that inspires people, music that's upbeat and that everyone can listen to, you know, universal music. And I'm a huge fan of independent artists because I know how hard it is to put together your music, not only put together your music, but put it out there for people, and then build an audience up from scratch. So, you know, I always appreciate that. So your song that you got out right now, is it part of an upcoming album, or do you have another song coming out soon? What else do you have in the works?
Yeah, sure. Right now there will be a new song in a few weeks that will come out, and will be a very fancy, very good song. You will, I will tell you. And there is no new album yet, but will come out soon. I think it will come about next year. And there was also a tour plan for 2021, I think. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And One thing is absolutely sure is that this tour is going to start in Los Angeles. It will.
Oh, you're starting your tour in Los Angeles.
I tell you.
All right, so if you can lastly, Composing For You, just tell everybody where they can hear your song. If you want to give out your social media for people to know, please do that as well.
Yes. So if you want to hear my song, and if you like this song, please check out www.composingforyou.com. Composing is a word, four is a number, and you is a word again. And check this out. You will find all the social media links there, and all the links you need, and some stories as well. And there will be news every single day. So.
Absolutely. Yes. So again, the name of the song is Hollywood Rock. You can check it out at composingforyou.com. It's composing, the number four, and then the word you.com. Again, Composing For You, we want to thank you for coming on and talking about your song. We want to wish you nothing but future success.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me. I'm very pleased and very thankful to have been here. So.
Oh, no problem. We appreciate you coming on, and we're looking forward to more music from you.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, so that was Composing For You. We are approaching the end of another show. We want to thank all three of our guests for joining us. Of course, our featured interview today was with Winter Harris. We want to thank her for coming on and talking to us this morning. We want to thank musical writer and musical artist Haley Reardon, as well as composing for you all for joining us on the show. Make sure you guys join us back here tomorrow. What the hell you gonna do? You gonna finally hear that here on Saying It Plain. So make sure you check us out, and if you haven't done so already, check out our sponsor, which is Crown Jewelers. Go to sayingitplainradio.net/crown.html to take advantage of a special for Saying It Plain listeners. You can get Crown Jewelers, no credit, all credit accepted, should I say, all credit accepted, low down payment, low monthly payments. That's what they're doing at Crown Jewelers. sayingitplainradio.net/crown.html. All right, we will check you out tomorrow. Until then, I'm TJ Harris saying deuces, and we'll see you tomorrow.